title of today's talk is Asking Why is Just Whining. Every time we ask why, we are really just complaining that we don't understand why things don't meet our childish expectations of how things should be. Why? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to pick up my toys? Why? Yes. It starts early, and it doesn't end until we leave the body. We're still asking why, unless we merge with God. The not knowing goes on and on and on until there is something that switches in the dialectic in our brain about it's all conscious. If God is the creator, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into existence through the Word of God, then you would think that we would come to a period of time when we could deduce that everything is God. And therefore, everything is conscious. But we don't. We don't get to that because we're not trained from childhood that that's how it is. So we go on accumulating misinterpretations of what we think we're learning that is excluded in an exclusory sort of a way of things being conscious. They are just objects. A pan can't possibly be conscious. A spoon can't be conscious. A shovel can't be conscious. Now, we've gotten to a place where because some science has finally gotten advanced enough that it can measure, let's say, a plant reacting to a cigarette burn. And that it can actually pick up the idea that someone is approaching them even outside of the house where the plant was burned with the cigarette, they begin to react to the person who is coming that burned them intentionally with a cigarette. Even with that information, we go on teaching children that a plant is just a plant. It's okay, we can dig plants up and rip them out. And I mean, we do it all the time. We eat plants unconsciously. I wonder what those plants actually are experiencing as we are preparing them for a meal and paying zippity-doo-dah awareness that they're conscious of it. Now, would they service us better if we recognized what was going on in their consciousness, that they were conscious of being used and produced specifically to sacrifice themselves for our convenience and health and welfare, even though we're let's say less than grateful and aware of their plight. Like a giant to pick you up by the legs and without the awareness that you're conscious. You see, because creation is so vast, and because our conditioning is so limited, we're acting out our existence in a fraction of our capacity. And therefore, we're fractionally fractured because we don't understand we're connected to the whole of creation. And in large part, masses of population don't want to know. Not that they don't just know, but they don't want to know because they don't know what the responsibility may be to changing their own conscious relationship with creation. Until you ask enough times why, and pity is sent to you via the spirit and God power, that you begin to actually want to know some, but yeah, it takes a long time to really want to know the depth of the relationship to the Creator and creation. Well, I was reading one of my science magazines, and there was a book review of titled, Then I Am Myself, the World. And he's a neuroscientist, and he's trying to explain that the brain and the body, the human brain and body interaction, is monumentally magnificently beyond what we think AI can do be. So what he's doing is taking another picture of our anxiety around AI. And basically, he gets to a place where he's trying to explain that with 86 billion neurons, that's the human brain, and 100 trillion connections between them, the brain gives us our rich subjective experiences and our capacity for, quote, quote here, free will, misunderstood, consciousness. Despite being a universal human phenomenon, consciousness is notoriously difficult to describe, and scientists will debate how it arises. In Then I Am Myself, the World, neuroscientist Christoph Koch offers the latest entry into the long list of books attempting to demystify the origins of our inner lives. While the topic can be a head-scratcher, Koch's adept using of analogies and entertaining anecdotes, complete with his own near-death experience and psychedelic drug trips, make the book a compelling and surprising light read. He challenges some common conceptions of consciousness, like the idea that the brain is like a computer, in which consciousness is software that programmed into hardware of our neurons. So, but he says they're wrong. The concept is wrong, because when you get down to the number of connections of what a computer has, it's minimal compared to the connections in the brain, in the human brain. Until we break the conditioned ignorance that is so deeply prevalent in our conditioning, it's so deeply set that we really spend most of the time not wanting to know, not thinking we should break our inability to accept consciousness in a creation that was made through pure consciousness, i.e. God. If God is pure consciousness, and that consciousness expresses itself in various and sundry ways, but one of the ways is through interconnected frequencies of love. A dog, and Christopher Koch has a dog, and he talks about his dog's consciousness. But if a dog picks up on different levels of intention frequencies from humans or other animals, then and they have minimal numbers of neuron connections as compared to the human brain. Koch explains that a computer has less, it has some conscious capacity, but it's in the sense that we would, and he thinks of consciousness, is that it's less than what a worm would have because of the lack of neuron connections. that neuron connections are part of the ability to analyze and understand things that can't be understood with fewer neurons. But what he's not picking up on is that consciousness isn't limited to neurons. Consciousness is indigenous to frequency that isn't contained solely within what we call material objects or animals or people or plants, you name it. Everything can be modified through consciousness, but is not understood that way. So that's in some part why you can drive 20 miles on fumes in your car, because you're praying that the car will make it to the next station. Things change their function when they are given credit for consciousness. So, you have to experiment over and over again with changing your exclusionary attention to certain things. You're just a screw. You're just a hammer. You're just a wallboard. You're just, and not change the dynamic that this wallboard also has consciousness, and every little particle in it has consciousness too. As does every little cell in your body have consciousness, and every little microbe has consciousness, and everybody little microbes, internal organisms have consciousness too. So it goes infinitely down and infinitely out, consciousness. Now that, even with a load of neuron connections, is a dilly. We have a dilly of a time trying to get it through our, let's say, awareness, persistently, 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 that everything is conscious. So we can take the afternoon and practice trying to bring into focus that everything has consciousness, but we only scratch the surface. One has to actually transcend the organism of the brain to get to a place where a vast array of information of what is conscious and how it's conscious operates. It's not a brain thing. It's transcendent to the brain, and that's where soul consciousness comes in. So if we are closed to soul consciousness, we will just momentarily visit the concept that everything has consciousness, but we won't hold on to it very well. Because the brain, while it has consciousness in a very advanced stage, doesn't have the consciousness of a soul. It has to transcend the frequency of the biological, neurological brain and accept the frequency of isness as soul isness. And then it enters into another arena of experiential consciousness. And then it has to transcend the soul consciousness to the spirit consciousness to go further and further and further. And so until we actually transcend the biology of the body and the biological functions of the neuron networking, we're still in a very limited position around consciousness. And that's what the Path of the Masters is scientifically trying to help us understand. That eventually we have to be able to transcend even the limitations of the vast capacity of the human consciousness, human brain. So then I am myself the world. Not quite. Then I am myself my perception of being the world. Being the world means you have to transcend. So the important thing is that it's not that you're hopeless. Well, maybe you're hopeless, but you're not helpless. Because if you choose to connect to the frequency of the master power, God power, then your ability to work towards transcendent of your limited brain consciousness connects you more readily through exercise to your soul consciousness, which then leads you to spirit connection, which then leads you on. So the willingness to give up your self-smug idea of knowledge and simply become, quote, quote, the mud settled, the relaxed love, the relaxed joy. You're on a frequency where you can be dragged to the frequency of soul. And that's what the Path of the Masters is about, is getting you ready to be dragged towards your soul, to be dragged into the frequency and let go of your belief that your mind is just fine and dandy, thank you. Well, it's a journey, and with very simple tools of relaxation, but also the awareness that you're limited without your soul. Until you become soul conscious, you have a limitation that is very profound, but you don't know it. And until you will recognize that the exercises of attunement to the spirit, to the soul, to the master power, is what takes you there. You can't just hippity hop and think you're smart. Smart doesn't work on the path. And that's why illiterates have no problem. Mm-hmm. I'd be sitting in Master's ashram listening to a talk, and a simple peasant that was, let's say, illiterate, would simply swoon with love in the middle of a talk. It just swoon with love. They didn't need to read the Adi Granth Sahib or the Bible or any of those other things. They just simply connected to the frequency that the master was radiating. But well-trained Westerners have a harder time. Scholars have a harder time. Oh well. So, as you spend your days on the path, the more you let go, the more you let go, the more often you rest in joy and relaxation, and you let the mud settle, and you just simply keep asking to experience a wider range of consciousness in creation, so that you can appreciate that consciousness, so that you can give up your ego identity intelligence and settle more often, relax more often, have joy more often, until you've reconditioned the number of neurons in your brain and your body, the number of cells, the DNA in your body, to be more receptive to transcendence. They have to be reorganized, or transcendence is, let's say, an ordeal, a near-death experience, maybe. So, other than a near-death experience, reconditioning the cellular structure of your body is what the path is scientifically trying to accomplish. Our friend Tukaman has a very light-hearted approach to things. I think God gave us the wrong medicine. Let's take a poll. How enlightened have you been feeling? I bet he keeps a private stash of something that really works. I mean, that seems lighthearted, but it's in the nutshell. that we weren't given easy access to transcendence. And the reason it's not easy is because from birth, we're conditioned to use our body brain. And we're dedicated to it, as opposed to being able to let go and let God. I don't hear many parents saying to their kid that fell off their bike, let go and let God. You've got to pay attention. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It's a get smart. Get conscious of smart. Be smart. Be, you know, learn how. It's the old shell trick with a twist. I saw God put himself into one of your pockets. You are bound to find him. A delirious game of club-bearing ants surrounded an elephant's house and started shouting, you better watch out. I understand exactly what the elephant then thought. Scholars, you are lucky I am always in a good mood. In other words, stop using your brain, kiddo. I was invited to a fancy event, and when I got there, one of the guests said, took him on. Your shirt is on backwards, and so are your pants. And it looks like your hair never heard the word comb. And your shoes don't match. I replied, thanks. I noticed all that before leaving, but why try to fool anyone? He's making light of human consciousness. That's because he knows human consciousness isn't where it's at. It's transcendent consciousness. And until you transcend human, biological, physiological consciousness, and you get onto the frequency of soul frequency, you're just whistling Dixie. And you know what happened in Dixie. There was a civil war. Yes. Okay. So, yes, science keeps working on it. But if you have the information in hand that all is conscious, and you can't apply it even minimally on a daily basis, there's work to be done. So getting to a place where transmutation of the biological body and brain are required for transcendence. And so if we do the opposite of what allows transmutation, we just stay locked in. Doesn't matter how smart you are, you're not smart enough to figure it out, that you have to quit trying to figure it out and relax. And luckily, attune to the frequency of Master Power, God Power, Soul. If that frequency is all around you and you can't pick up on it, then Now that's not a downer. What that is that you're being given the respect of knowing that so that you can actually use it. At some point in time, you will start using it properly. And that's what the path is about. You can't jump over the hedge and get there. You can only get there through using the disciplines. Well, like I say, you could get taken out of your body with a near-death experience, but that might not be so fun. It may be relieving when you come back, but on the way out, it could be a little painful. And so, itty-bitty, day-by-day, hour by hour, remembering what the job at hand is transmuting the cellular structure of your body, the DNA, the RNA, every little molecule in your body. And that has to be an intentional discipline of joy, relaxation, happiness, quietude, and then listening to the sound for the sound and looking for the light. In other words, getting out of your body reflexes enough to get quiet enough to transcend to the third eye. But you have to start somewhere where it's practical, and an open heart is a very practical place to go. A relaxed body is a very practical place to go. Letting the mud settle. Changing the biochemistry of the body is important. It's imperative. And if you're conditioned to be tense so that you can be right, so that you can be smart, you're tense if you've got to be smart, period. If you've got to be right, you have tension. Now, there's nothing in and of itself that's a sin in that. It just blocks you. It blocks you from transmuting your cells. You're adding more tension to your cells rather than opening your cellular structure so you can be gently transcendent. Okie dokie. So, have a lovely day and enjoy discovering, even if it's just a teeny little bit, that you can have experiences that biofeed you back, that you did more conscious attention towards consciousness everywhere, in anything, in everything. And so, yes, the little ants came and shouted at the elephant, and we can shout at God all we want, but why isn't the way? How do I attune is the question. And the answers are the disciplines. The disciplines.